mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son. In these last days, the disciples and those who followed Jesus in the early days of the church thought that the end was near, that their Lord would return at any moment. They believed those days were literally the last days. There must have been some confusion in those first few years of the church when the man that many knew personally didn't come back to them. Fast forward 2,000 years, and these times also can feel like the last days. Earthquakes shake the earth. Social upheaval seems to be everywhere. Old institutions are being torn down, both for better and for worse. Our climate is changing. I think this past summer is proof of that. Divides deepen us. And in these last days, God speaks to us by a Son. One of the ways that God speaks to us, of course, is through Scripture. And what does Jesus speak about to us this morning? Divorce. Not exactly the topic I imagine when I think of the good news of Jesus Christ. And this might be the morning in the Episcopal Church when preachers choose to talk about liturgical colors, why we use green in the summer, or why we process, or what the significance of incense is, or the value and virtues of prayer. But the same question about this text keeps coming to me again and again. Why is it here? And how is Jesus speaking to us in it? Divorce was and is a relevant issue in the world. It was a matter of Jewish law in Jesus' time, and so it makes sense that the Pharisees would have tested Jesus on it. They were looking for a way to dispatch of him, and catching him on a legal technicality would have been the perfect way to do this. So they asked Jesus whether it's lawful for a man to divorce his wife. Jesus' answer comes with some resignation. I imagine it, him answering after a long day of traveling. He says, "What does Moses command you?" And it's as if he's saying, "You know the answer already. Why are you asking?" And the Pharisees answer that Moses allowed for a man to divorce his wife as long as he provided a certificate of dismissal. And Jesus answers the Pharisees in this dialogue by citing our Old Testament reading from this morning, from Genesis. He says, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And then Jesus goes on in private with his disciples, as is his custom in the Gospel of Mark, saying that a man or woman can divorce their partner, but if they marry another, that this is committing adultery. Not exactly a glowing endorsement of divorce, or for that matter, relationships that are not heteronormative. Implicit is the assumption that marriage takes place between a man and a woman only. It is easy to see how our gospel this morning and the text from Genesis could be used to enforce ideas about how men are superior to women because they were created first, or that the only form of romantic relationship acceptable in the world is between a man and a woman. And these texts have been used to promote both ideas throughout the history of the church, and they are still used in this way today. In answering the Pharisees' questions, Jesus interprets Scripture in a way that makes sense for his time. He takes texts that would have been known to those around him and uses them to answer the question presented to him. Like Jesus, we also interpret Scripture in in a way that makes sense for our time. And in doing so, we have come to understand that God is big enough for all forms of relationships, and that there is no reality in which one human is superior to another, if in fact God has created everyone in this church, in this town, in this state, in this country, and on this earth, in God's own image. Scripture is a living thing. It speaks to us as a living thing would, and not as something written in stone. It speaks to our current moment together. It speaks to our individual lives. And so what is it saying today? What is going on in these readings on a deeper level? What are they about, really? Like Jesus, how can we interpret our readings for this morning for our current moment, for these days that feel like last days? What deeper theme is running through all three of them? I wonder if one of those themes is community. And I wonder if another is love. The Bible is a long story about community. It's a story of God's relationship with us. From its beginning, when God created humans, man and woman, to the end when he sent his son Jesus to us in these last days. The Bible is a story of God and us. It is a story where we fall out of relationship with God, and it is a story where he calls us back to him, calls us back into the fold with love. I wonder if community is at the root of our reading from Genesis this morning. It says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." And beyond problematic nature and interpretations of this reading, the root desire here, I wonder, is that the human God created, God did not want to be alone, to be in isolation, to live by itself. Community also seems to be at the core of our reading from Hebrews, that in these last days, God sent his son Jesus to us, to speak to us, to be in community with us. The exact imprint of God himself is a communal act. That God sent God's self in the form of a human to become closer with God's creation is community. And what a gift it is that God came to live with us, if just for a little while. And this son speaks to us. He speaks to us about love throughout the gospel, about love of neighbor, love of enemy, love that is radical, love that sees no boundaries, that defies the powers and principalities of this world, love that forgives and reconciles and redeems, love that is risky, hard, scary, vulnerable. Divine love that cannot be dimmed by any power of darkness. This love might be the love that binds two together in marriage, and it is also the love that combined us together in community as the body of Christ manifest in the world. This love is the foundation of Jesus' teachings, all of his teachings. And when he is discussing divorce with the Pharisees, he does not have worldly law on his mind, but instead the divine love of God. For God says, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." And so what has God joined together? Perhaps to a marriage, yes. But God has also joined himself together with us since the first days of creation, when we were made in God's image. He joined himself together with humanity through the covenants with Abraham and David. And he joined himself to the world through Jesus. And what God has joined, God's self with us, can never be separated. In these last days, when truth seems like it's hard to find, when some truths are believed and others are not, there is one truth that reigns. The truth behind not just this morning's gospel, but the entire gospel. That the love of God gathers us, calls us, and binds us together. That it is the glue that binds this breaking world. And through this love, we are joined to God through it, always and always. And nothing can separate us from this love that God has for us. Amen.